Thank you, Sonny. That was great, great singing. Welcome, everyone, again to Grace Bible Chapel. Thank you for coming out, and I trust that what I had to say tonight will be a blessing to you. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. My message tonight is on God's grace, and by God's grace, I'll be able to give it. And so we're going to read a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want to look at three aspects of God's grace tonight. And as we look at those, I hope that we'll leave this place that much more secure in our faith. When you're young, you know, or you don't know that you need God's grace. And when you're old, you know that you need God's grace. And it says here, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You can be strong in God's grace tonight because God's grace in salvation is unconditional. Let's look at a few verses back in Romans. Chapter 5. There's not a person in this room tonight who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that hasn't at one time had doubts, had worry, has fear, and being concerned. God's grace in salvation is unconditional. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want you to look at a few words that are mentioned in that passage of Scripture. First one is, yet without strength. Yet without strength. And God's grace is unconditional because it applies to anybody, anywhere, at any time. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what color of skin you have, and how rich you are, how poor you are, how healthy you are, how sick you are. It doesn't matter. When we were yet without strength. God's grace that came to this earth had nothing to do with the people's characters that were on this earth. Yet without strength. There was nothing in man that compelled God to come and save mankind. Yet without strength. And it also says, while we were yet sinners. We all know what that means. While we were yet sinners. We couldn't help ourselves. We did what was in our nature. And we committed sin because we're sinners. And we're sinners because we committed sin. The Bible says that in Ecclesiastes, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it goes on, it says, when we were enemies, we were without strength, we were yet sinners, and we were enemies of God. Enemies of God. Who would die for his enemy? Only God would. We were enemies of God. And so we can say quite forcefully, God's grace and salvation is unconditional. Further to that, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, I have it written here. It says, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So we were without strength, we were sinners, we were enemies of God, and we were dead in sins. God's grace and salvation is unconditional. And so I can, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a son of God, I can be strong in God's grace because it's unconditional. Didn't matter who I was, where I came from, God's grace is unconditional. Not only that, God's grace is all-inclusive. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 29. There's some people that actually thinks that they can be good enough to warrant God's favor. It's impossible to be good enough to warrant God's favor. And so in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 29, we read, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. God's grace in salvation is unconditional and it's all-inclusive. And I can be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Further to this, we can look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 7. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications of prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And we can note in that passage of Scripture, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Another place it says he is a savior of the world. So I can emphatically and dogmatically state tonight that God's grace is unconditional and it is all-inclusive. There's not a person in this room or on this earth that God's grace cannot reach. And that will lead me to the third point about God's grace and salvation. And I can be strong in it. Is that it's unlimited. I like this one. Unlimited. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. For if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, in verse 18, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That as sin hath reigned unto death, if you tell one lie, that's sin. And that one sin will condemn you unto death, it says in verse 21. If you tell 1,000 lies, that will condemn you to death. If you tell 1,000,000 lies, that will condemn you to death. If you tell one lie, that will condemn you to death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So God, I can be strong tonight in God's grace and salvation because it is unconditional, it is all-inclusive, and it is unlimited. And also, by the way, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But not everyone is in Christ. I trust everyone is in Christ here tonight. We read in Romans chapter 3, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. The requirement is faith in his blood. In Romans chapter 4, the page over, it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." There was a time in my life, if you're a young person here tonight, I trust that you'll listen for at least 5 minutes. There was a time in my life when I didn't know that I needed God's grace. I didn't realize, being as young as I was, that I was a sinner, and that if I died, I would go to hell. And so God, in his mercy, God in his mercy and his grace revealed himself to me. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't caring about God. I had no interest in God. The world had an interest to me, and I wanted to do things my own way. And yet God in his mercy, and I believe every believer here can attest to this, God in his mercy revealed himself to you. And until God reveals himself to you, you'll have no interest in the things of God. And I trust that the scripture that we read tonight, you'll realize that there is a God, and there is Jesus Christ, and he came and he died on the cross for your sins. Because you live in a body that's going to grow old, and it's going to start to decay, and the hair's going to fall out, and all sorts of things are going to happen to you. But if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day he will come back for you, and he'll take you to heaven, and you'll be given a new body and a new home. And if you're here tonight with your mom and dad and they have brought you here time and time again, they are concerned about your eternal soul. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's my question to you tonight. God's grace is for you. It's unconditional, it's all-inclusive, it's unlimited, it's abundant, and it's for you. You need to be saved. I needed to hear that when I was a young man. Because if I hadn't heard that as a young man, I wouldn't be here tonight. I can guarantee you that. I needed to hear that as a young man. And your parents have brought you here, and they encourage you to come because they want you to be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he wants you to be saved tonight. I was reading today about 4 seconds. That's all it takes. There's a huge mudslide in the United States. In 4 seconds, the side of a mountain swept down a hill and buried people alive, and they were gone in 4 seconds. I don't know if you heard the news today, but those mountain climbers in BC, they climbed that mountain, they got to the top, one guy was delayed for some reason, and when he got to the top, all he saw was their tracks going, and then the drop-off. And they found the four bodies now. Four of them got to the top, they went and stood on a snow ledge, and the snow ledge collapsed, and they fell 500 meters. Gone in an instant of time. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. The Bible says that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners, and we all need a Savior. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you don't know, here's the question. If you don't know tonight where you're going if you die, that tells you that you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can only encourage you and beseech you and implore you that you ask your parents how you can be saved. Because one day, as we were discussing, one day Jesus is coming again. And he's coming real soon. There's going to be no hope after that for this poor old world. So I carry on. God's grace and salvation is unconditional. It's all inclusive. And it's unlimited. There's not a person that can't be saved. And so I can be strong in that grace tonight, because it doesn't depend on me. It all depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on me, on him. And another thing I can be strong is God's grace in salvation secures my future. Secures my future. And this is done through the Holy Ghost and the Spirit that he gives to each and every believer. In Acts chapter 10, Peter went with a group of Jews, and they went to the house of Cornelius. You know the story well, and they were at his house, and they preached the gospel to him. And it says in Acts 10:45, on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And a verse that everyone should know is in Ephesians. Chapter 1. In whom we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And another verse that's very important is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made it to drink into one Spirit. God's grace and salvation secures my future, because I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, I am predestinated to glory, and I have an inheritance in heaven. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because I don't have much on this earth. But the poorest of the poor can have the eternal riches of heaven. This is a verse I was going to mention a little later, but I mention it now. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And in Romans chapter 4, we read a bit about blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. And in verse 16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And Romans chapter 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know if that grips your heart, but if you're a believer here tonight, according to the Word of God, and that's all I can say, according to the Word of God, you're free from sin. You're free from sin. And I can be strong tonight in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, because it secures my future. It doesn't depend on me. It depended on him. And according to the promise of God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born again by the Spirit of God. Old things have passed away and all things become new. And we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a lot more that happens when you become a believer. This is just touching the surface. We become members of his body, and we possess his righteousness. You know, these are amazing things. These are things that we really can't comprehend. And it takes a work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to help us to understand. But I'm telling you tonight, you can be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's unconditional, it's all-inclusive, it's unlimited. And it secures our future. It secures our future. There's great verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't know if there's 15 in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And there's that verse in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I can be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, because he has secured my future, not me. He has secured my future through the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And because I have faith in him, he has given me all these blessings. So undeserved, but I can be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, I can be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace and salvation is sufficient for every need. God's grace is sufficient for every need. And I could take you to those verses in Corinthians where Paul said, besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He had a weakness or something, a messenger of Satan, he said, that would buffet him. And what did the Lord reply to him? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And remember those verses, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And that verse I've already quoted, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And so I can be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God's grace and salvation is sufficient for every need. Back in Romans chapter 12, we have those famous verses, verses 1 and 2. But I decided one day that I would read the rest of the chapter. And it says in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How I needed that many times. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If you've placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given you something. Not only his spirit, but he's given you a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Nor he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection, one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's judgment. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God's grace in salvation is sufficient for every need that you will ever have on this earth. Do you believe that? And so, just to conclude quickly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we are given an awesome privilege. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians on this earth, we are given an awesome privilege. And Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians, if you remember what the scripture says about the Corinthian church, they came behind in no gift. They lacked nothing, absolutely nothing. And they were blessed beyond what we can imagine. And Paul says, we then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. There should be some effect in your life of the grace of God. And you should manifest what I read in Romans chapter 12. And so he beseeches the believers in Corinth that they receive not the grace of God in vain. They were given so many blessings. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we already read this, but it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are to be representative of Christ, and I know I've heard it time and time again from this pulpit, and I'm going to say it again tonight, because it says, Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. In the workplace, wherever we are to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace is sufficient for you to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's as I already read, we are workers together with him. If you know what the work of Christ is and how he's working in this world, you're to pull up alongside and be a worker together with him. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do in this church, because then maybe I might have to do it. But we are to be workers together with him. We are to get busy. And Paul beseeches the believers in Corinth to do that. And we are Christ's administrators in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the rest of 2 Corinthians, right to the end, it's talking about giving of our time and our money. And that's where that verse is found. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." I couldn't say it any better. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Little thing here I have about from Charles Spurgeon. And he writes, "There are plenty of ways to serve God, and some that will fit you exactly as a key fits a lock. Don't hold back because you cannot preach in St. Paul's Cathedral. Be content to talk to one or two in a cottage. Very good wheat grows in little fields. You may cook in small pots as well as in big ones. Little pigeons can even carry great messages. A little dog can bark at a thief and wake up the master and save the house. A spark is a fire. A sentence of truth has heaven in it. Do what you do right thoroughly. Pray over it heartily and leave the result to God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your abundant grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin, as the hymn writer said. Marvelous grace of a loving God. We thank you that your word tells us these things and that we can have full confidence that they are true, and that we can go from this place encouraged to step out in this week in this world that is so far from you, and have our lamps all trimmed and brightly burning, for we know the bridegroom is coming. And it may be this week. So, Father, we know that until you come, there's a work to be done. And bless this church and help it to do that work. And give us grace. Bless us as we go to our homes. And we pray for all the young children that are in this chapel, that they would understand and know that God loves them, Christ died for them, and that they can have a home in heaven if they would ask him into their hearts. We ask this now, and we pray all these things only in the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.